Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Maysoon's in Denver right now, which is a very high city.
It's a mile high city.
You're in a very tall building.
I'm on the 16th floor of a tall building.
Okay, here's the update. The Growlery's got a show opening, wouldn't you know it? And the artist is Anna Wayne, who I think is originally from Senegal, and she's got a show over there. It's called Fluid Marks, and it's opening on, well, it's going to be open June 16th through 28th. The reception's the 16th, 7 to 10 p.m.
Hey now.
Get in there. It's at 235 Broderick Street. Of course, they have another show also opening same day by John Burnson, which is called Third Eye Moonwalk.
Oh, wow. I like that title.
I know. That artist is from San Francisco.
Okay.
And he's doing some kind of site-specific installation or something.
Wow.
Get in there. Also, Maysoon, get this.
What?
They're accepting their applications for their 2019 residencies. Each residency comes with a materials budget of $250 for 1 month and $500 for 2 to 3 month residences. Okay. You get a private bedroom and a shared bathroom. And the studio space is in the basement, but you can work pretty much anywhere in the house. It's a huge house. It's huge.
It's a huge, old, like, Victorian, but, like, really beautifully remodeled or, you know, taken care of. There's a nice outdoor garden. The kitchen is enormous.
That's right.
It's in, like, a great neighborhood, of like, you know, neighborhood. There's you're really close to...
Well, it's right by Hayes Valley.
To visit Darrow. It's sort of Western edition. Yeah, you can walk around. I mean, it's just like good walking, really good walking around. So everyone should apply if you want to spend a month in San Francisco.
Yeah, if you don't mind going up and down hills.
Yeah, which maybe if you do mind, maybe this will be a good challenge for you.
Sarah Tebow still has that show up over there at Part 2 Gallery. There's going to be gallery time all the time.
Gallery time all the time.
It's a group show. Sarah's not the only one in the show.
Sorry,
group. See her work, but other work is there. Yeah. Also, Control Shift is looking for new members. I'll have a link in the underworld. I think they've got 3 spots open. And the application for that is due by June 24th at midnight. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, Clay News, you're invited to Blue Line Arts. Has a show called Off Center. It's their international ceramics competition. That's going to be opening June 16th, also from 5 to 8:30. Meet the artists. Many beautiful examples of ceramic art. Sometimes I'm like, do I know these people, Maysoon? How did they get our email?
Someone probably said, you should set it in the Congratulations Pantry and they'll publicize for you.
Yeah, we will, for free. Should we be charging for this?
We might want to start asking for, like, a suggested donation.
I would love a donation.
Yeah.
Hey, Marianne Clouth has a show opening up. She's probably got lots of friends. It's called Master Study, Grand Canyon Trail and the Glass Gallery at the Palo Alto Art Center.
Oh, wow.
That's not the title. The title is just Master Study.
Yeah.
Grand Canyon Trail.
That's exciting.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is opening, did I already say when it's opening?
No.
June 22nd.
Okay.
From 7 to 9 p.m. is the reception, but it's open June 16th through August 26th. So you got a long stretch to go see it. There's some photos here. It looks very interesting.
That's awesome.
It's kind of like an installation collage. If people are looking for some great mind-blowing collage-related stuff. Hey, Jack Fisher's got to show up.
Jack Fisher always has to show up.
Also, Control Shift also has an opening on June 16th. Everything's happening June 16th. Called Anybody Home with Five Fifths Collective, which is the Five Fifths Collective is Tanya Belongo Bear, Troy Chu, and Nikaruka Opara. Mm. I hope I pronounce things pretty close. And that is going to be from 5 to 8 at Control Shift, which is at 1430 34th Street right here in Oakland, California.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be really good. So get out there.
Cool. I want to give a shout out to Rodney Ewing, who this week has launched his Arts Commission Public Art Market Street poster series. They're really beautiful posters. And they're hosting a little reception at the Luggage Store Gallery. That's Friday night. So tonight, get on over to the Luggage Store 6 to 8 to go celebrate with Rodney and people for his new poster series. And if you can't make that, just head down Market Street. Look for the posters.
You can see it all the way down Market Street.
Enjoy them. Email us, email Rodney, get in touch about it. Tell us what you think. We want to hear all about it.
Yep, you can give us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can give us a call or text at 419-351-6606.
So this past weekend, I went over to Minnesota Street Projects. I was like, okay, I'm determined to see artwork this week. And I show up, and there's this event called the Festival of the Impossible.
Oh, no.
I think at one point I texted you. I was like, I'm over here at MSP, and there's a tech convention going on.
No.
It was kind of crazy. I was like, oh, man, of course I come on this crazy weekend. It actually wasn't that jam-packed, but I actually didn't do too much with this festival because I was like, I really just want to see artwork right now. That's maybe not the nicest thing to say. I was sort of focused on seeing a few galleries. But the Festival of the Impossible is, I guess, a big VR, virtual reality.
Oh, man, did you pop a headset on and go into the Matrix?
I didn't, because you always have to wait in a fucking line because there's never enough headsets.
I love VR.
I think it's always just fun to watch people, like when they have the headset on, just watch how they deal with it. Like there was one space upstairs kind of where SOEX has its auction, where SOEX had its auction list this year, where there was like this huge wooden swing built. So like, you know, the wooden structure and then
the swing, and then the VR.
Someone was wearing VR and swinging, but there was this huge line. But that I feel like I would definitely be into trying that, because that's like a whole full body experience. Like this, you're in motion and looking at something.
Well, so you're probably, that was the cool thing that you're looking at is probably reacting to that motion.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know, that so you're like, of... move. The view is moving.
Yeah.
With you.
Did you go to the Rena Branston show?
No.
David Linger. Do you know that guy?
No.
Do you know that artist?
No.
I'm not that familiar with him either, but I think it's because I don't make art. I'm always amazed by how things are made in some ways. And so this guy, David Linger, I guess he got his MFA from Mills in 2008. So a while
back. Oh, maybe I do know him.
You might know him. I think he's older, white man. I've never met him before.
Oh, then I don't know him.
But he had these black and white photos of sort of the beach, or like beach sort of scenes with people and stuff in them, printed onto translucent porcelain panels.
Cool.
Which is kind of crazy. They're all black and white, and when you look close, it kind of almost looked like newsprint, the way that the porcelain, or the way that it works when this sort of transparency merges.
Was it lit from behind?
No.
Oh.
They if you look at it sort of at a glance, it just looks like photos that are mounted on something, on like a white hard substrate. But then if you look closer, you kind of like, you can kind of see like the porcelain drips a little bit, but then it also sort of looks like you know how newspaper has so much texture? It kind of looked like that. They were pretty interesting, like as objects, like looking at, I don't know. I thought they were fun to figure out or not figure out. And then, of course, I asked the person who was working at the desk what they were. I was like, is it newsprint? How are they? Because I don't really understand. I never studied ceramics. I don't understand how you get like an image onto
screen printing
a ceramic object. And so she explained it to me, but she was like very snooty and like impatient with me. I was like, God damn you people. You're such jerks. Like, I actually work in the art world and I'm like genuinely interested. I'm sorry if I come off as a fucking dumbass to you, but I just wanted to ask a question because I was interested. It literally makes me not want to ever ask questions sometimes in these situations. It's
well,
so annoying.
Did you ask if it was newsprint?
I think I said that it looked like newsprint to me, and I think I might have said,
yeah, maybe she was like offended because she's like, that's cheap.
Oh no, I think newsprint is an incredible medium to use.
Yeah, but I bet she was getting all high and mighty because newsprint is like too
low. It's too low art, not enough high art.
Yeah, I don't know,
but you know, it's just like those experiences that you have in galleries like that where you're just like, oh god, this shit drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And anyhow, whatever. It was still interesting work.
So wait, did he screen print a Maysoon? Was it screen printed on?
I don't know, man.
You never got the 411?
No. She said they were photos printed on translucent porcelain panels. So to me, she made it sound like, no, they were like baked into the porcelain.
No, I don't think so.
Not like applied to the top.
Maybe she didn't know how they were made and that's why she was being
Maybe that's why she was sassy with me. Maybe she's like, oh, here's this bitch wanting to get the details. Because
you
I don't
could
know.
Print with like a printer, like an inkjet printer onto anything as long as it's pretty flat.
You can? So how does that work?
Yeah, onto metal, onto porcelain, onto whatever you want.
Oh.
You just have this huge bed that you put whatever you're printing on down, and the printer head is this big giant thing that moves over whatever the material is. Like, do you know Magnolia Printing over
yeah,
in
of course.
West Oakland?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's they do how that. They do. Yeah, you can print on anything. Fabric.
Oh, I know they print fabric.
Was it really high res? Like when you looked at it, was it like, damn, this is like got a ton of detail?
No, no. That's why I think that's why I thought newsprint, because they actually kind of looked more fuzzy, soft focusy newsprint style.
Well, I wonder if that's because the porcelain absorbed the ink or whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm really doing a forensic analysis here.
I love it. I think it's great because I thought it was super interesting. I feel a little bit differently if it was literally just printed on a porcelain versus like I'm like thinking they're in like the ceramic studio, like placing some transparency with an image on it onto the porcelain plate and throwing that shit in the oven.
Then it would ignite.
And letting it melt into
well, I mean,
it. But that doesn't make any
print,
sense.
Maysoon, you could screen print with like underglaze. Which is colored, you know, it's just basically colored
okay.
slip.
Yeah.
You could screen print yeah. with that. I really want to go there now and figure it out.
Okay. Go there and just, you know, try to find that same lady and be like, I heard you were crabby. Let's talk.
Okay, Maysoon, I am at Minnesota Street Project now, and I'm about to go into this one section of Rena Branston that we were talking about. Okay. There's a lot of fans on. Okay, I'm taking a very close look at these prints that are on porcelain. And they are hung about 2 inches off the wall with some metal pin kind of things that come out to hold each plate because the images are divided up with plates. And even now, I can't say decisively how these are printed. I'm pretty sure it is screen printed because I can see kind of a dot matrix in the image. So, and they're all regular sizes. There's a guy here talking about it. So, I'm gonna try to get over there and see what they're saying. Okay, Maysoon, I walked right over to the desk of the gallery sitter and looked at the list, you know, of works, and it says right in the description of the media, underglaze, screen printed onto translucent porcelain. So, screen printed with underglaze, which is just colored slip, which is just watered down clay. So, mystery solved. Thank God I came out to San Francisco. I probably could have just checked the website. But glad to come out here. Plus, I still have a Phil's card that my mom gave me for Christmas, so I can go get some avocado toast for no money of my own. So, I call it a win. Show it case more Kirkaby looks really good. Okay. This has been Forensic Files with Kate Rhodes and Maysoon, who's in Denver. Okay, point is, Maysoon, I went over to the lab last weekend. And I saw Keith Hennessy do a piece called Crotch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember reading that.
It was a revival of a piece that he made in like 2008 when he was going through a divorce. And it's all kind of responding to Joseph Boy's work, like all his work he ever made. So there's a piece that Boy's made where he just shoved all this fat in a corner.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know what it is. Crisco? Is Crisco like a solid?
It was probably lard, knowing Boys.
Okay, whatever it was, Keith Hennessy, the kind of crescendo or whatever, the big like finale of the piece, was he sat in this chair naked with his legs spread apart and made a wall of fat like in his crotch. It actually was like very poetic. It wasn't like, it sounds pretty gross, but it actually was very formalist kind of.
Oh, interesting. Like the fat was already in the corner, and then he went and kind of collected it and gathered it in his crotch.
No, it was on a chair.
Okay.
So it was sitting on this chair, then he brings the chair over, and the room has all these kind of recreations of Joseph Boy's sculptures.
Yeah.
Some of which I recognize right away.
Yeah.
Like a lot of things of like felt and, you know.
Right.
And there were quotes, like painted quotes from Boy's and stuff. But a couple things I didn't even notice were there. Like, I was like, why is there a grand piano covered up in the corner? Like, has that always been here?
Yeah.
Sure enough, that's a fucking boy thing. Duh.
Was it covered in felt? Or wool?
It was. It was covered in material. I don't know if it was legit felt. But anyhow, there were a bunch of other parts to it. The whole beginning is we were outside and he gave us all chocolate to eat.
He gave you chocolate to eat?
And then he read a poem.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Pieces of chocolate. And then we went inside and we kind of went around all these objects to look at them. There was a big vase kind of thing full of honey with batteries that had been dropped into it. I love Keith Hennessy.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. It was very funny to me because it was Carrie Hott's birthday and she had her husband and a couple friends who weren't really necessarily in the mix of this kind of performance art necessarily, or like nobody knew really what to expect. And it was just a funny thing to bring someone who just, I love the Bay Area. Stuff like that just makes me happy to be in the Bay Area. Yeah.
Isn't it happy? Yeah, you're just like, thank God this is still here. I hear you on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And, okay, so then follow up to that. Last night I went to a dinner at the lab, and it turns out they're maybe, hopefully, about to be able to buy the building.
Yeah, they've been working on it. It's super exciting.
So it's maybe going to be done in October.
Awesome. October. Oh, right, that's the whole thing.
Which sounds super soon.
That's super soon, because that's the whole thing for, I think there's like, Dina has to do a bunch of like, I don't know, she has to do some remodeling or bring it up to certain standards in order for it to be a public space or something. And so that's why she's sort of like slowing down on programming for a little bit.
Yeah. It's incredible. And just shout out to the lab, because Dina Beard is fucking rocking the house over there.
Yeah, she's rad.
And the whole community that is like rallied around keeping that space.
I'm really glad they were able to do that.
Hell yeah. Speaking of the city, Maysoon, you got a new mayor in there.
Man, Man, oh fucking man. Yep, we have a new mayor. Her name is London Breed. After a much contested, I guess, sort of mayoral, I don't know, what would you call it? Like after the election, there were days and days and days upon which 90,000 mail-in votes had to be hand-counted in order to figure out who our mayor was, because it was too close of a race for it to be fully determined after the, like, directly after the election. And so finally, I think it finally was announced yesterday, Wednesday, or sorry, it was finally announced this week on Wednesday. So election was the following, it was like over a week. It took over a week for us to determine who our mayor was. And it was a very tight race between Mark Leno, who I personally voted for and would have loved to have won, and London Breed, who was kind of like, I think, she is probably going to be described as like part of the Willie Brown machine, you know? And so a little bit.
And what does that mean to you for like people that aren't super familiar with SF politics?
I don't have a great description of that, but I think it's kind of like big business, basically.
Yeah. I mean, she was kind of really supported by Ron Conway.
Well, so Willie Brown is like, yeah, Gavin Newsom was after Willie Brown. And like, you know, basically Willie Brown still runs the city, like on the sidelines. No one sees him, but he's there. And then after Gavin Newsom, Ed Lee definitely was still part of the Willie Brown machine, and now London Breed definitely is. And so I think the idea there is that, you know, big business and big money for San Francisco, and sort of like fuck all the small guys, basically. And so there was a lot of controversy after Mayor Lee passed away. What was that, in December? Yeah, it was early December. Jesus. When he passed away in early December, because it was reported that at his funeral, both at City Hall and I believe also like the family, like the private family funeral, that Ron Conway was doing already, like talking to people about putting then president of the board supervisor, London Breed, in the position of president or in the position of mayor. So he was already kind of like, just like very tacky, talking about who the next mayor should be and is going to be.
He was the CEO of this company called Atlas Computer Systems. And he was the CEO of Personal Training Systems. He was an early investor in Google, Ask Jeeves, PayPal. Yeah, he's in with Airbnb.
Yeah, so Ron Conway. And it's funny because... it's not funny, but what I had heard also is that when he got all that sort of negative media attention at like when Mayor Lee passed away, he basically like backed off like him talking about or pushing for London Breed. And basically what I heard, and I can't remember if I read it or who I heard it from, but basically kind of went to all of his like, oh, I did read that, went to his tech CEOs. Or not his tech, but all of the companies that he sort of is involved with, like, you know, all the big companies in the Bay. And was like,
he's really involved in San Francisco.
Yeah, he's
politics.
In with everyone. And was like, he was basically said, if you, you know, basically told people to give money to Breed's campaign. So it's like, it wasn't him giving money directly because he wanted to sort of stay out of the spotlight and not negatively influence or impact her campaigns. But he's still like... But then he instilled this in other, like all these other tech CEOs who were like, okay, we'll do whatever you say, Ron. Anyhow, we're going to get wiped out. Oh, God. This is when I'm like, maybe an earthquake will happen. It's so bad.
I've seen a lot of people excited about London Breed, though, because she is the first black woman to be like permanent mayor of San Francisco.
Yeah, but is that what if she's also the first woman to like... I don't know. I mean, yes, I think those, like, the optics of it are amazing.
Yeah.
But I do think that this person is a person who's in, like, has a lot of power.
Oh, for sure.
And I want to give Mayor Breed the benefit of the doubt and, like, cross my fingers and hope that she pulls through on some of the things she said she's going to do, and that maybe it's not, you know, maybe she has a different perspective on business as usual and... the tech industry and gentrification and evictions and homelessness and so many things happening in the city right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, what's done is done. And I feel like for me, the only way to move forward is to like one, to hope that she does the best, that she does a reasonably good job, and two, to kind of keep an eye on her and, like, I guess be active citizens and try to stay engaged. And that, I feel like that's a little bit, I don't know, I get a little bit confused about, like, my professional role as a city employee. And how, I don't know, I feel like I need to have, like, a conversation with some of my more, like, activist colleagues at the Arts Commission and be like, how do we do this? How do we do this safely, you know?
Yeah, do some community organizing.
Yeah, because I don't want to be like, I hate London Breed. I don't know London Breed, but I do know what she kind of stands for and who she's aligned herself with, and I don't love that. And so that's, for me, why I didn't vote for her and would not have voted for her and probably won't vote for her again if she, you know, when she runs for her second term. You know, so this mayor, this period is only for 2 years. She basically has to finish out Mayor Lee's term, and then we go and vote for a mayor again.
Oh my gosh, Mason, then is the mayoral election going to be the same time as the presidential election?
Probably. And so probably everyone will vote then. Hopefully everyone will vote.
Wow, that's wild. Although the turnout in San Francisco was huge. It was at presidential levels.
The turnout for this?
Yeah. I heard it on NPR.
So, I mean, what's good about the fact that she only has 2 years, right, in this particular instance, is that it hopefully will cause her to do some good things, like things that for all the other people who didn't vote for her will, you know, inspire them to reconsider her for a 4-year term. You know what I mean? Like, maybe she'll do some things that are actually pretty great and I'll be like, oh, she's not as bad as I thought in the first place. Or maybe it'll be enough time for her to, like, clearly have not done anything great, and for everyone else who voted for her to be like, oh, maybe I should have voted for someone else. Maybe next time I'll vote for someone else.
It's hard because I feel like you can do just one thing that people get excited about and then do a million things that were actually pretty bad, but nobody noticed because it's kind of boring. And then that'll just get you through. Like, Libby Schaff is on the cover of some fucking magazine right now about how she's, like, so great for progressives because she went against Trump. You know, and, like, told people that ICE was coming and all this stuff. But she's done tons of bad shit, too. She's, like, you know, not that she's really not very progressive.
Well, and honestly, she's in the Bay Area, and how big of a deal is, I mean, it's a big deal to go against Trump, but it's sort of like,
yeah, it's a very safe.
Okay, you're in the Bay Area. It's kind of expected. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm being cynical, but it's very safe. Exactly. Like, what are you doing that's not safe, that's actually controversial in the Bay Area? Like, what, you know, are you actually standing up for something that no one has ever stood up for before? Well, good. You deserve to be on the front cover for that kind of bullshit, for that kind of action.
Yeah.
I don't know. The media, let's not even get into the fucking media.
We're the media. Okay, what else you got? Maysoon, you're in Denver. Are you going to get the scoop on Denver for us?
It's currently now cloudy with blue skies. It's no longer fully overcast. I'm going to be your weather reporter for Denver.
I don't want to know about the weather. I want to know about how they're keeping their nonprofits. Go talk to somebody at a nonprofit and find out how they're keeping their shit going. Because Denver is also like a fucking tech bomb gentrification zone.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
The housing prices in Denver are going up at an insane clip. Oh, and you got to go to Kilgore Comics is my favorite comic book shop ever.
Oh, yeah. I read about that. I wanted to also pay a little tribute to a local San Francisco arts hero who recently passed away named Renee Yanez. And I realized that, you know, you and I hadn't really mentioned it on the podcast, and he certainly deserves, like, out loud recognition and love from us because he is incredible and has, like, I feel like I didn't know him that well, and I've read quite a bit about,
oh yeah,
kind of how people who were very close to him knew him. And I think in general he comes off as he's like this one of those, like, very quiet but incredibly strong forces who played such an important role in, like, I would say, like, the foundation of, like, the nonprofits in San Francisco. Even, like, just he's kind of like the bedrock almost, or one of the people who just sort of helped build San Francisco into what it was slash is. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're in this transition moment. Yeah, so he co-founded Galleria della Rasa, which, you know, most people know is one of the mission's most important cultural institutions. So incredible. And I think because of that, like, he has just been influential in so many different, so many kinds of nonprofits who, like, open with that sort of model in mind. He brought Dia de los Muertos to the mission, you know, so he, like, he started that whole tradition in San Francisco, and certainly started the exhibition that happens at SOMARTS. He moved to to San Francisco in 1960, around 1960, late 1960, 67 or something. And he curated a retrospective of Frida Kahlo's work in 1977 at Galleria della Rasa, which is one of the first sort of exhibitions of its kind in the Bay Area, which is, I think, pretty fucking exceptional. I mean, it was early, early time probably for bringing Frida Kahlo's work to the Bay Area. I mean, maybe not that early, but like in a retrospective format. And supposedly the story is that he proposed it to SF MoMA. You know, but he was like, hey, you guys should really bring this artist to your museum. She's incredible. And they declined it. So he brought it to Galleria, which is incredible. And then, of course, later on they did. Oh, they're actually going to do a Frida Kahlo retrospective, I think, this year. Anyhow, I'm just trying to say, like, he just did a lot of amazing things for the community and, you know, was a sort of this quiet hero who was very humble and didn't talk. He was also a practicing artist, didn't talk a lot about himself, and was really kind of like focused on helping other people kind of get their careers off the ground. And it's sweet. Like, I wasn't super close to him, but people who were called him the Padrino of the Mission, which I think is so like the father of the mission, which is really sweet. I guess he also had some part in helping ATA get off the ground, which I didn't realize.
This used to be a city of poets. It used to be a city of artists. And with gentrification, it's fading away. So it is becoming an endangered species. So I think that we have to work together with the Art Commission, with the city, to preserve our heritage, our culture, our diversity. What's happening in Hunter's Point is getting to be less and less black people. In the mission, people are really fighting to stay where they are. So it's important that that we have to form new avenues to preserve and expand culture. There's an exhibit that's coming to the Art Commission Galleries, the history of the Neighborhood Arts Program. Kevin Chang, Jaime Cortez are the curators. It's important to see the Neighborhood Arts Program came out of the Art Commission, and it had a employment training program for artists. And there was so much art and so much teaching, so much expansion of the arts, music everywhere, poetry. We have to really fight to keep that, preserve that.
So he was really awesome and just like an integral part of not just the mission, but definitely also, I think, the San Francisco sort of nonprofit world, really important. So he will be sorely missed by many.
Okay, Maysoon. Well, I'm waiting for you to come back. And when you do, I'll be picking you up from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. I don't know how I'll do that, but this has been Congratulations Pine Tree.